Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord.
Well, it's obvious that a number of North Lakers are out of town this morning, visiting their families, I hope, or maybe taking a little vacation. This is a good family holiday. Know that that you're praying for their safety on the roads and their good experiences with their families. But the flip side of that is that we get to have many visitors today, many visitors from out of town, family who's come in to be together, and it's so good to see so many of you from days past, and I hope you will stick around a little bit after so that I get around to everybody myself. I love to these kind of holidays and being able to be here together when all of you've come together, so hope you can do that. The Grahams almost had a full back row over here. Chris and Amber snuck in on you somehow. I don't know, but you had to close the gap after the kids left, didn't you? There was a large gap there. So I know that you're having fun with those grandkids, and many of you are having fun with family this week. Hope it is a blessed time for you. We have been talking about the Psalms and looking at the Psalms and thinking, how do we pray the Psalms? And how are you doing with that? Are you praying the Psalms? Are you reading these Psalms during the week? Some, I hope so. We're trying to get a little insight each week into the Psalm that we're focusing on so that we can pray it through the week. Imagine this whole congregation praying together along the lines, sharing that same prayer focus throughout the week. And so that's kind of what we have here. I think that's a powerful thing. We come here to the end of the book of Psalms at 146. There are five Psalms left at that point, and we notice that there's a pattern to these last five Psalms in the book. They each open and close with the words, Hallelujah. We were singing that, Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, praise the Lord. Each of them are a praise psalm, praise song. And throughout the five psalms, it becomes an expanding circle of praise. Psalm 146 begins with the individual calling on themselves to praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Or I think the translation that Paige used, like with my whole being or something like that. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Then it ripples out to a summons to praise for the people of Jerusalem in Psalm 147. Then in Psalm 149, it's all of Israel is called to praise. And then finally, the last Psalm 150, there's an invitation for everything that breathes to praise the Lord. Everything that breathes to praise the Lord. From the individual through the people of God, through everything under creation, being called to praise. These five joy-filled songs bring the book of Psalms to a close. But it makes you wonder whether it's sometimes hard to praise God in this world. How can we bring these words of praise to our lips in a world like ours sometimes? Too many politicians on the take, too many corporations with no regard for their own employees, much less the good of society, senseless violence in our homes, our communities, and around the world. There's enough food grown on this planet to feed everybody, and yet people starve every day. How can we praise God in a world like this? Life on a smaller scale often seems to be full of just about as much trouble. Relationship struggles, families splintering, too much need and too little money, the ravages of mental illness, some physical malady or another that saps our strength, our vitality. And even if things go well in life, if you live long enough, you watch those that you love die. How do we praise God in this? We go whistling along kind of in the dark. Sometimes that's the best way to do it. We kind of ignore that sometimes, because if we stop to think about it, we realize that our hold on health or security or what many of us feel is maybe happiness is a very slender thread. How do you praise God when life seems so tenuous? How can we sing, "Praise the Lord, O my soul"? That phrase there, "my soul," in verse 1, it's rare in the Psalms, only used a couple of other places. That idea of the soul tends to make us think about a separate spiritual side, you know, of ourselves. But that is a very Greek idea. The Jews didn't think about it that way. To them, the soul wasn't a separate, distinct part of the self. It was the totality of the self. So I like your translation there that you read, Paige. "Praise the Lord with my whole being" might be better translation. "Praise the Lord with everything that I am." The psalmist intends to praise God with all of my life, as long as I have life. And so this psalm becomes a call to involve our whole selves in praise of God. But we're constantly tempted to parcel out our lives in much smaller chunks, aren't we? We parcel out our lives and our trust to other things in life. The psalmist warns, don't put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. And so the opposite of trust in God or praising God is putting your ultimate trust in people, or maybe even in yourself. Now, I think no one can escape this temptation. People have tried to run away into the desert or maybe up on a mountaintop, thinking that they can elude any influence that might lead them away from God. But that refuge in our world doesn't exist. We live in a world that doesn't like no for an answer. I really thought it was fascinating recently when the leader of one of Britain's political parties, I think a party that had picked up votes in the last election, picked up seats in the last election. He's the leader of this successful political party there in Britain, but he chose to step down because he said that he found himself torn between living as a faithful Christian and serving as a political leader. And the British press and the political establishment there were apparently stunned and lamented his decision, but I found it refreshing. I found it just so refreshing that someone is at least considering that possibility in the world. Maybe we all need to consider how the demands for loyalty coming at us from all sides in this world clash with the claim that we make to praise God. Can you do what you're asked to do in your life and be a faithful Christian? Can you run your business like folks run businesses, or practice your profession the way it seems you have to practice it, or meet the demands of this or some other government and still give your full and complete and ultimate allegiance to God? It's a good question. We should probably, more of us, be unsure about this. I think preachers particularly need to be unsure about this. I think preachers need to ask if we can be faithful Christians and be preachers too. That might seem funny to you, but I think the psalmist here would understand. Starting to see yourself as some kind of authority on spiritual matters is probably one of the worst things for your relationship with God. The psalmist says, be careful about princes. Don't put your trust in them. So those princes are anyone or anything we're tempted to look to for security or favor. So it's not just a president. It can be democracy. It can be science. It can be technology. It could be financial security or personal pleasure. And we can take good things like freedom or independence and make idols out of them. We can make a god out of almost anything or anybody. Beware those who claim they've got all the answers, who imply that what they have to offer is more tangible than what God has to offer. Has it truly been tested? The world presents these things to us one right after the other every day. Are they really offering something that can last? And here again, the psalmist reminds us, God is the only one who remains faithful forever. God is the only one who the term forever can even be applied to. Lesser gods die in our world every day. They come and they go. Even the good things in the world pass away. The good people disappoint us. The good relationships that we have. Ultimately, I think most of us find it's not enough. It's just not enough. You notice that the psalmist doesn't say, don't put your trust in bad princes. It's any prince. Even the good ones are too limited for our complete trust. We need relationships. We need other people. We need people we can trust. We need good leaders. It's just that if you put your ultimate trust in even good people and good things, you'll be disappointed. Only God is worthy of our complete trust. The God we need to worship is the maker of heaven and earth and remains faithful forever. And when we praise God with our entire being, the psalmist says we're blessed, not joyous for a moment, but deeply in sync with the creator of the universe, going with the direction of the creator of all worlds. We become who we were meant to be. We become who we were created to be. But here's where the psalm gets really interesting to me. That does not mean that we escape trouble in life. Maybe that pull that we feel like gravity toward other gods in this world indicates how needy we are, how incomplete we are in ourselves alone. Remember, from the beginning, God looked at human beings and said, they have needs. They are in need. They're incomplete. I think this is one of those powerful insights in the Psalms. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9. Those who've been broken by life in so many ways, who are they? The Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But God frustrates the ways of the wicked. Isn't it strange the righteous are right there in the middle of that list? You think about that? I mean, what are the righteous doing there in the middle of a list like this? Well, it seems the righteous need the same healing and experience the same brokenness as everyone else. We are the broken. Whether you're oppressed by a dictator or you're oppressed and in the grip of some addiction, whether you're hungry for food or you are starving for love. Life has a way of making us all bow down in one way or another. Whether you're caught up in an unjust system or you're misunderstood and persecuted, whenever you actually attempt to follow Christ. This psalm is sung from the standpoint of the broken. We are all broken. We are all incomplete in ourselves alone. And that's why we search for another to make us whole. And that search can lead us to God, or it can lead us to seek wholeness in some way that will lead us to frustration and failure. We begin to find true healing in praise of the Lord. We recognize our brokenness, and we go to the one who can heal us of our diseases, the only one who can bring true salvation. Now, some people practice religion, including some Christians, and they think that if they do, they're going to avoid pain and they're going to avoid need in life. But that's not what God promises. God brings salvation and promises to be our God in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the need. Each of us here today is an incomplete human being, incomplete in and of ourselves, unable to find all that we are looking for in this world just on our own. Recognizing that, praying that fact, comes as a shattering breaking of mindset for some people and in our world. Will we praise God with our whole lives and find life, or will we turn toward princes? But we've experienced how God comforts. We've experienced how God upholds us in the middle of the trouble. We've seen God lift up the fallen to pick up those who are bowed down. We've experienced God watching over the foreigner. We've seen God sustain the orphan and the widow and the widower. We have reasons to praise God. This is not a call to praise God based off of a theory. We see God at work in this world. We've already begun to experience God's salvation, God's grace. So we can pray this prayer. We can praise God if we can see ourselves in it, if we can see our own brokenness, if we can recognize our own great need and how God has come to us in the middle of that need, in the middle of our pain. And then we can turn away from princes and from other gods. And perhaps then God can use us to be instruments of his mercy as well. And so these are the questions we face when we pray Psalm 146 here in this little psalm. What big questions? A different way of looking at the world. And that's why we need the Psalms. Would we ask these questions on our own? Would you come up with this on your own? I wouldn't. I need the Psalms. So I hope that the rest of your day and your weekend is a wonderful one. Come back tonight to Christian Towers for the barbecue supper that's there. Visit with the folks there at the Towers. Be together with your church family here as well. Bring any visitors you've got with you from out of town. Bring them with you to the Towers. I know that will be a great experience. Aaron has worked very hard on it. But I do want to ask this question before we leave here this morning. Have you found in your heart today any realization that you recognize that there's a brokenness in you that you need the prayers of this congregation for? Do you sense a need within your heart that you've been hiding from, You've been pretending it's not there. You've been perhaps pretending you're strong or invulnerable to that. Allow God to take that today. Allow God to work through this body of Christians, through the prayers of this group, through the love there, but also in your own prayer, as you pray this psalm and psalms like it, for the need that we all have. If today there's any way that we can help you with that prayer, would you please come as we stand and sing?